This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
As a business owner, you need protection for your physical and financial assets. From general and professional liability insurance to business owners and commercial auto policies, GEICO can help. Go to geicocommercial.com for your free quote and see how much you could save today.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Wildfire death toll climbs. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. It is Wednesday, October 11. Glad you're with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
More than a dozen people have now been confirmed dead, with many others missing as wildfires in Northern California rage through wine country.
In Washington, the Supreme Court has thrown out the case involving President Trump's travel ban.
In sports, U.S. soccer suffers what could be the worst embarrassment in American sports history, failing to qualify for the World Cup by losing to Trinidad.
And how to get a leg up on the competition when it comes to financial aid.
Really, you want to be looking at all the different forms, even if you don't think you're going to qualify for need-based aid, it's a smart idea to file it. One, you might actually be wrong, but even if you're not, in a lot of cases the colleges will use maybe that freshman year FAFSA as their basis for looking at your aid profile going forward.
Kelly Grant at CNBC.com on the financial aid process. She's here in about 20 minutes. From bad to worse, with some of the fast-moving wildfires in Northern California, the death toll has risen to at least 17, with more than 150 people missing, mostly in wine country. More than 1,500 homes, wineries, and other buildings have been destroyed. By one count, there are 17 major blazes that have scorched more than 115,000 acres since Sunday. Crews took advantage of cooler temperatures, lower winds, and coastal fog yesterday to make some headway. But Sonoma County Sheriff Rob Giordano warned that risk remains.
Personally, I think it'll be one of the worst disasters in California history. Never seen anything like it. The amount of resources we put into it, the amount of damage we've seen, the amount of... it's just unbelievable.
North of San Francisco, the city of Santa Rosa was particularly hard hit by the so-called Tubbs Fire, which damaged a Hilton Hotel and destroyed a mobile home park. Further south, the so-called Canyon Fire 2 has spread to 7,500 acres in Orange County, destroying 14 structures. The Supreme Court has dismissed a major challenge to President Trump's travel ban since it's been replaced by a new version. That sends the executive order back to the starting block. More from this morning's Mike Gavin.
The ruling is a victory for the Trump administration, which had asked the court to drop the case after the president signed a proclamation 2.5 weeks ago that replaced the temporary travel ban on six nations with a new indefinite ban that now covers eight countries. The latest travel ban targets five countries included in the two previous versions: Iran, Libya, Somalia, Syria, and Yemen, and now Chad, North Korea, and Venezuela. Also, students and tourists are treated differently from other travelers. Gordon.
Thank you, Mike. 9 minutes after the hour. More actresses are coming forward to allege they were victims of sexual harassment by Hollywood producer Harvey Weinstein. Angelina Jolie and Gwyneth Paltrow are the latest. Both said the incidents happened early in their careers. In a statement, Ms. Paltrow alleged that after Mr. Weinstein cast her in the leading role in Emma, he summoned her to his hotel suite, where he placed his hands on her and suggested massages in his bedroom. They join a string of actresses accusing Mr. Weinstein of harassment. Louisette Geis said it happened in his office while she was pitching a movie.
He returned in nothing but a robe, with the front open, and he was buck naked.
Other allegations came from Mira Sorvino, who won an Oscar in 1996 for her role in Mighty Aphrodite for Miramax. She told the magazine that Mr. Weinstein had tried to pressure her into a relationship. Rosanna Arquette also said that she rejected his advances and that she believes her acting career suffered as a result. Thanks for being with us, and we're coming to you today from the Dell Studios. Need help finding the right Dell PCs with Intel Core processors for your business? Call 877-BUY-DELL to talk to a Dell Small Business Tech Advisor. Almost a year after President Trump beat 16 challengers in the GOP primary, then defeated Democratic opponent Hillary Clinton, some of his most ardent supporters worry that there are two Trumps, the one they fell in love with during the 2016 campaign and the one sitting in the Oval Office. It's a story from James Antle, politics editor at the Washington Examiner. Jim, what are you hearing?
Well, there's been a sort of disparate reaction among President Trump supporters. You've got some who really feel like they did get what they bargained for. They're happy that he seems to be willing and ready to cut some deals. They like his tweeting. They like that he's a tough talker. But then you've got some other people who are a little bit more high profile, people like the columnist Ann Coulter, and even some people who served inside the Trump White House, such as former chief strategist Steve Bannon and national security aide Sebastian Gorka, who are saying that the Trump era in certain respects is over and that the president has failed up to this point, at least, to deliver on the populist agenda that they thought was the real reason he was elected in the first place.
All right, like what, for example? Their complaints center on what issues?
Well, you have the fact that he didn't take the stand that he promised he would take on the border wall. Obviously, he's still saying that the wall will be built, but he had threatened to precipitate a government shutdown over its funding, and he did not do that. He cut a deal with the Democrats to keep the government open instead. Now it looks like he's not going to include the wall in a deal to extend DACA through the legislative process in order to win Democratic votes for that. So there is just this sense that in some corners they blame the president, but in other corners they blame Republicans in Congress and just the bipartisan Washington culture and say that Trump hasn't gotten the support that he needs. But there's this divide among Trump supporters between people who thought they were electing the man and that the man had certain personal qualities that would help tame Washington and make a difference politically, versus those who thought that Trump represented an ideology, and that ideology may be closer to what Steve Bannon's personal ideology is than what President Trump's is.
Who are the supporters of Mr. Trump at this point, and what is it they like about what he's done so far?
Well, I think you look at a lot of guys like, you know, some of the higher profile ones, I think maybe like the Twitter user Bill Mitchell, who really became famous for tweeting in support of the president, of course, on the president's favorite social media platform. Twitter is really the big thing in the Trump era. And then there's also, I think, a lot of people like Hugh Hewitt, a lot of people at talk radio, and just a lot of rank and file voters who you talk to who were supportive of Trump during the campaign. They still like the fact that he's tough. They like the fact that he's taking on NFL players who are taking a knee rather than standing for the national anthem. They think that he's taking on both parties in Washington. They're angrier at the Republicans in Congress for not passing things and sending bills to Trump's desk than they are for what they perceive as maybe Trump taking on members of his own party like Senator Bob Corker. They like those things, which are things that other people in the Republican Party are critical of.
We're speaking with James Antle, politics editor at the Washington Examiner. He's written a piece entitled, "Is Trump Still the Same Guy Who Won in November?" Any way to predict what's going to happen in the coming weeks and months? And could there be some sort of other shift?
Well, a big thing, I think, will be, do they get tax reform done? And there is a little bit more Republican consensus on that issue than there was on health care. And I think there is a little bit more of a sense of urgency because they didn't get health care done. So I think that is going to be a big thing. And the other thing will be, what do they do about the Dreamers? Does Trump totally end up having to capitulate to the Democrats on that, or does he win some real concessions on immigration? I think those two things really will go a long way toward explaining the feelings of the Republican base about how they think this experiment in unified Republican control of government is going.
Thanks, Jim. It's James Antle, politics editor at the Washington Examiner. It's 20 minutes now after the hour. On This Morning, Jennifer Koschenka is here with more of America's First News.
Reported massive wildfires sweeping through parts of California have killed at least 17 people and damaged more than 2,000 structures. Firefighters are battling dozens of fires across multiple counties. Intensified by strong winds, the fires charred over 115,000 acres of land and forced nearly 20,000 residents to evacuate. Many residents are waiting to return to their neighborhoods.
You're always anxious, until it's over. You never know if your house is burned or not burned.
Hundreds of people have been treated for burns and smoke inhalation. Authorities say an alert system likely prevented many deaths. The death toll in Puerto Rico has risen to 45 in the wake of Hurricane Maria, with at least two deaths attributable to a bacterial infection. Power has been restored to only 15% of the island. The commander and executive officer of the USS John S. McCain were relieved of their duties today due to lost confidence after the warship and an oil tanker collided near Singapore in August. The cause of the collision is still under investigation, but the Navy described it as preventable. The crash killed 10 sailors. Child and teen obesity levels have risen tenfold in the last four decades, meaning 124 million boys and girls around the globe are too fat. The analysis in The Lancet is the largest of its kind and looks at obesity trends in over 200 countries. Researchers say obese children are likely to become obese adults, putting them at risk of serious health problems. Well, for soccer fans like you, Gordon, this is a dark day. 28 years after the U.S. ended a four-decade World Cup absence with a stunning victory at Trinidad, the Americans' chances for the 2018 tournament in Russia ended on the island nation in even more astonishing fashion. Needing only a tie against the world's 99-ranked team, the U.S. was eliminated from World Cup contention last night with a 2-1 loss to Trinidad and Tobago that ended a run of seven straight U.S. appearances at Soccer Showcase. Manager Bruce Arena.
Started the second half in good shape, and no excuses for us not getting a second goal and at least a point out of the game.
Defender Omar Gonzalez, whose 17th-minute own goal started the collapse, says the team let down an entire nation.
That is true. Just a colossal embarrassment.
Well, there's always the women. I just said to Mike,
that's true.
The women's team is great. We'll just have to turn our attentions there.
Model your program after what they do. All they do is win. But the analyst, Taylor Twellman, by the way, went off.
I heard that.
You heard me crying to that?
I heard that this
morning.
He said,
Iceland, with a population of Corpus Christi, Texas, can figure out how to qualify in Europe.
That's true.
22 minutes now after the hour. Families of college-bound students can now file key financial aid forms. It takes some legwork to make sure you're ready. Take a deep breath. I join you a year from now, so I'm paying attention, too. Here's some hand-holding from Kelly Grant, consumer reporter at CNBC.com. Kelly, set this up.
Well, if you're going to have a student in college next year, now is the time to start thinking about that financial aid. As of October 1st, the season was open for the FAFSA, which is the main form for determining federal need-based aid, and even some state-based and college-based aid there as well.
Everybody should file this, right, or file whatever forms are necessary besides the FAFSA?
That's the bottom line. You know, really, you want to be looking at all the different forms. Even if you don't think you're going to qualify for need-based aid, it's a smart idea to file it. One, you might actually be wrong. But even if you're not, in a lot of cases, the colleges will use maybe that freshman year FAFSA as their basis for looking at your aid profile going forward. So if you thought you were going to get a merit-based aid, you might still need that FAFSA. You'll need it if you think you are going to be taking out loans. And if your circumstances change and maybe you will qualify for need-based aid in future years, you know, sometimes they really want that from freshman year to sort of set the baseline.
All right. I know I was reading in the piece that 86% of families said they had filed the FAFSA, highest rate in 10 years of some survey. So how do you, stand out from the crowd, I guess?
Well, this isn't really about standing out from the crowd, per se. It's different than looking for, like, a merit-based scholarship where you're really touting your achievements. So here the big thing you can do to really distinguish yourself is to file early, because a lot of states and colleges, they do distribute aid on a first-come, first-served basis, or they have deadlines for when you'd need to apply. And because the FAFSA is now starts in October, previously it had been something that you would do in maybe January or February, some of those state deadlines have moved forward, too. So if you wait until next year to file for this, you could end up missing out on some of the aid that has either, you know, been used up because it's not available or because you just missed the deadlines.
Mm. We're speaking with Kelly Grant, consumer reporter at CNBC.com. She's also a certified financial planner. She has written a piece entitled How to Beat the Competition on Scoring Financial Aid. All right, what else do we need to keep in mind?
Well, you'll need to be filing your taxes before you actually file your FAFSA here, because this form is going to use data based on your most recent tax return. And we do know that there are a good number of slackers who have been putting off filing their return. They don't want to get their stuff together, or they're waiting on some documents, maybe some partnership forms that are still floating around out there. So you'll need to have your tax return in. You can use estimates, but the experts say it's better to have hard numbers.
Well, all right, what do you mean by prime your assets, by the way?
There are still some last-minute moves that you could make if you wanted to make your financial picture look a little better on the FAFSA. Your income tax data, as I said, that's going to be used from your most recent tax return, but your assets, you're reporting that value based on the date that you file. So if you were to, say, take something that you had in savings, use it to pay down credit card debt, that makes you look even better because they're not counting that asset that was in your savings account is gone. And there are a few little last-minute tweaks, magic tricks, the experts call them, that you could use that might make things look a little bit better or work the formula to your advantage.
Thanks, Kelly. Kelly Grant, consumer reporter at CNBC.com. It is 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. If you travel for business, stop wasting time pricing your flights and hotels at the same old sites. Visit Upside.com. It's quick and easy for Upside to show you the exact flights you're looking for and the big-name hotels you want. You can buy them separately or bundle them. See, the more you bundle, the more you save, the bigger the gift card you receive to places like Amazon.com. Every time you buy a business travel package using Upside, you'll get the VIP treatment while still paying low prices and being rewarded with gift cards every time you book a package. Oh, you'll keep your airline miles too. Upside's the real deal for buying your business trips. You got to give them a try. And right now, when you use the promo code DEAL, you're guaranteed to get at least a $100 Amazon.com gift card on your package purchase. That's code DEAL to get a $100 gift card free. Upside.com, the better way to buy business travel. Minimum purchase required. See site for complete details. Upside.com and the code DEAL.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Wednesday, October 11. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koschenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. California wildfires now blamed for at least 17 deaths. Supreme Court hands a win to the Trump travel ban. More actresses come out with Harvey Weinstein stories. A Utah cop has been fired after video showed him forcefully arresting a nurse for not drawing a patient's blood. You probably saw that video. U.S. soccer lost to lowly Trinidad and Tobago and failed to qualify for next year's World Cup. Yanks-Indians game 5 tonight and the emotional home debut for the Las Vegas Golden Knights. That story in about 20 minutes. Exhaustion, weariness, fatigue, whichever phrase you prefer, recurring tiredness seems to be the new normal for a growing number of people, regardless of their age or background. Causes range from illnesses such as amnesia, depression, hypothyroidism, diabetes, and heart disease to the increasing overuse of technology. More from Bill Ervolino, columnist at The Record in New Jersey. Bill, what did you look at?
Well, we tried to look at everything. I'll be honest with you. Social media was the last thing I looked at. It didn't even occur to me until some people started telling me. I knew people were having problems with their diet and vitamins and exercise. And, you know, sleep apnea is a very common thing that people are finding out from these sleep clinics that they go to. And stress. And, you know, when I started asking people what they were stressed about, this is what came up over and over again. You know, their Facebook, their Twitter, their Instagram, they're getting news alerts on their phone all day. And it's really changed the way people spend their evening. You know, I mean, the hours before you go to sleep, when generally people used to calm down, I think people are more agitated now than they've ever been.
Wow.
And you know, and for a lot of us who are hooked in because of work and everything, we're getting this all day long. We're getting constantly jabbed in the ribs and told to pay attention to this and attention to that. And you know, certain things upset us, certain things make us anxious. And it's even with kids, you know, you're seeing kids in their late teens and 20s saying that they're tired all the time. And this is really a new thing, I think.
So when it comes to social media, then, do you find that the stressful part for people was, say, trying to keep up with current events, or they were aggravated by politics they may be reading on a Facebook, or the fact that they had so many different accounts?
Sometimes, you know, you'll just put something on someone's page, it's their birthday, and you put a little cartoon, and you're like, did they like it? Is it dumb? Am I going to get, you know, called out for this? And that becomes a stressful thing until you see them like it, you know, on Facebook.
Oh, boy.
But the other thing is, if you are, you know, into politics, and a lot of people are getting very, you know, there seems to be a lot of that going on right now, that things that are upsetting people to the point where they don't even want to talk to people anymore about it. They don't want to discuss it. They unfriend people because they disagree with them. So this obviously is something that's very common now. And I think just the pressures, especially younger people feel about keeping up, and you know, someone's showing off their new this or their new that, and they feel a lot of pressure from that, and it's affecting them in this way. It's making them anxious. It's making people more impulsive, and it's making people exhausted.
We're speaking with Bill Overlino, columnist at The Record in New Jersey, part of the USA Today network. He's written a piece entitled "Why We're Exhausted: Stress and Social Media Are Taking Their Toll." Well, it's not so easy just to flip off social media, I guess, as a solution. What else is out there as possible ways to address this?
Well, I mean, as far as social media, you can give yourself some free time and get away from it. As far as the other causes, like things like sleep apnea, you really need to go to one of these sleep clinics. They're all over the country. A lot of hospitals have them. And they can really help you determine how to deal with this. I mean, this is a breathing problem. It affects your sleeping. And they have machines that can help you get over it and get through the night and have a normal night's sleep. I spoke to a couple of people that use them, and they said it was life-changing. Wow. As far as other things like vitamin deficiencies, and you know, there are wellness centers. I mean, this is like a key buzzword now, wellness center. And there are tests for this. They can test you for vitamin deficiencies, for thyroid problems, and other conditions that can be easily corrected.
Anybody saying, Bill, that we're slowly killing ourselves by not addressing some of this?
I think that, a fitness trainer that I deal with, who I interview frequently, and he works a lot of times with people that have chronic problems like arthritis and diabetes and so on. And, you know, he said that to me. He said, people say stress can kill you, and it can. It can kill you. And, you know, lack of sleep, and just, you know, outside of just that, what it does, the stress of your body, you know, I talk to people that work heavy machinery that were having trouble staying awake during the day, that drive trucks. You know, we've heard about these truck drivers falling asleep at the wheel. This can happen to anybody. People are behind the wheel. They're doing something, that could be potentially dangerous if they fall asleep, and they're smacking themselves in the face trying to stay awake. Bad news. Coffee can only do so much.
Yeah.
So, a little good health goes a long way. A little exercise, a little watching what you eat, watch your sugar intake. All of these things can really help you to get a good night's sleep and have enough energy during the day to function.
Thanks, Bill. Bill Overlino, columnist at The Record in New Jersey. 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Wednesday. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, this should go without saying at this point, but apparently it bears repeating. Alcohol and fire rarely make a good combination. That was never more true than this past Sunday when, according to Fox News, a bet between family members watching an NFL game in Florida took a wrong turn when a man ended up hospitalized with severe burns. The family was reportedly watching the Dallas Cowboys-Green Bay Packers game when a bet was made between a husband and wife. The bet was whichever team lost the game, the loser would set their team's jersey on fire. The husband's team, the Cowboys, lost, as they typically do against the Packers these days.
Oh, what? You just...
had to just kind of slip that in there.
Look at the Giants fan just weave that in there.
I don't have much to hang my hat on these days. So he went outside to light his jersey on fire, pay up the bet, but he told police he was intoxicated and tried to put on the jersey while it was on fire. Mm. He was rushed to a nearby hospital where he was found with second-degree burns on his back and third-degree burns on his right arm and right hand.
Which would seem to indicate he got fairly far in putting on the burning jersey his back.
I guess so, where he just did it really quickly, but yes, yikes.
How drunk do you have to be to try to put on a flaming shirt?
Yes.
Back in the day, you know, I...
Do we need point alcohol point
I've
levels
had,
here or
you
what?
Know, my share of nights where I was buzzed or maybe got sick. I don't know that I was ever at the point where I would try to put on a jersey that was on fire.
Yes, yes.
That's beyond where most go, I would tend to think.
Although, had that not happened, he might not have even remembered that he made the bet in the first place.
Yeah.
this woke him up real quick, I
Goodness.
Guess. And a wanted man, Gordon, wanted something in return for turning himself in, and unfortunately for him, he got it. The Huffington Post says the Detroit area man, who calls himself Champagne Torino on Facebook, made the challenge on Friday to the Redford Township Police Department. It came after Torino left a negative message on the department's Facebook page. The person manning the department's page threatened to block Torino from posting, citing veiled threats to residents and officers that he had made on other threads. The threat of a ban seemed to spark Torino's competitive nature. He promised to turn himself in for his outstanding arrest warrants if the department's next post got 1,000 shares. He also sweetened the deal by promising to come with a dozen donuts and to pick up every piece of litter around local schools. The department happily accepted the challenge, joking that the donuts were the key element. Within an hour, the post had more than the 1,000 shares, and since Friday, it's been shared more than 4,300 times. However, as of yesterday afternoon, Torino had yet to show up at the police department with or without the donuts.
Oh, man.
And, of course, that's prompted more shares and more posts and people saying, you know, come on, you got to stand up.
Yeah.
You know, come on. Got to do it, man.
What is the deal? He went all in on this.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
just failed to deliver.
Not surprisingly, the criminal did not live up to his promise.
Of course, you don't want police getting in trouble now for being baited.
Right.
Where they go to his house, knock on the door, and say you're under arrest for failing to appear, whatever the warrant was.
Right? Awfully brazen, though. He's got arrest warrants, and he's posted on the Facebook page. Perhaps not the brightest.
Yeah. 13 minutes now in front of the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. Small business never stops moving, so Dell's U.S.-based small business technology advisors are trained to keep up. Just call 877-BUY-DELL to get connected with an advisor who will get to know your business and tailor a solution with Dell PCs powered by Intel Core processors that is right for you, so you can focus on your business and leave the tech questions to Dell. Call 877-BUY-DELL to get in touch with a tech advisor today. You don't often find the words business and friendly in the same sentence, let alone the same state. Unless, of course, you're talking about Michigan. Michigan's business-friendly practices help them become a leader in industries that range from agriculture and cybersecurity to aerospace and defense. In fact, Michigan is ranked among the top 10 states for major new and expanded facilities, which makes Michigan more than business-friendly. It makes Michigan business smart. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.com. Thanks for being with us. Global rates of childhood obesity have jumped dramatically in the past 4 decades. That's according to new research in The Lancet. The number of children ages 5 to 19 who are obese has increased tenfold from 1975 to 2016. Rates in high-income European nations and the U.S. have plateaued, but they have not started to decline. Time.com says the rates are lowest in Eastern Europe. The latest trends emerged from more than 2,400 studies that documented the height and weight of nearly 130 million children from 1975 to 2016. Overall, the number of kids and adolescents with obesity increased from 1975 to 2016 from 5 million kids to 50 million among girls, and from 6 million boys to 74 million boys. It is 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, a carelessly discarded cigarette, a downed power line, a car's backfire, or a chainsaw's pull, just about anything could have started any one of the wildfires now tearing through Northern California. Investigators are looking into the causes, but no determination has been made at any of the 17 sites of major blazes through the state. Janelle Rinker lost her home in Santa Rosa.
It's just unimaginable, but we woke up this morning and we had to face our new reality, which was tough.
At least 17 people have been killed and over 200,000 evacuated. 2,000 structures have been destroyed. A flood of allegations are pouring in against Harvey Weinstein. Reports that detail claims of sexual abuse and include testimonies from Gwyneth Paltrow and Angelina Jolie, further intensifying the already explosive collapse of the disgraced movie mogul. Three women accuse Weinstein of raping them in a story published by The New Yorker. Louisette Geis says she was harassed by Weinstein when she was pitching her film in his office.
I will take this meeting with you if you will shake my hand that you will not touch me. And he shook my hand and kind of laughed it off.
A representative for the mogul vehemently denied the allegations. The Supreme Court has dismissed one of two cases over President Trump's ban on visitors from mostly Muslim countries, suggesting it will step away from the controversy for now. The court got rid of a case that originated in Maryland and involves a ban that has now expired and been replaced by a new version, but the justices took no action on a separate case from Hawaii. Hyundai is making changes to one of our most dreaded experiences, buying a car. The automaker says it will have its dealers post their fair market pricing on their websites, including company discounts offered customers. Dealers will also be encouraged to do things like deliver vehicles to customers for test drives and let people do much of their paperwork online instead of having them fill out form after form at the dealership. The Hyundai Shopper Assurance Program will start first in Miami, Orlando, and Houston and will be rolled out nationwide early next year.
Mm. Buying a car, buying an airline ticket, paying for a medical procedure, all those like pricing, mysteries sometimes.
Yes.
Thanks, Jen. 6 minutes now in front of the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. Nobody's mind was entirely on hockey during what should have been a celebratory night and a milestone for Las Vegas last evening, which finally has its first franchise in the major North American pro sports. Instead, the Golden Knights and the NHL kept the recent shooting tragedy in the forefront during last night's first ever home opener. The game against the Arizona Coyotes originally was planned as a glamorous Vegas-style debut. After the shooting, though, the team modified its plans and dedicated a quieter evening to the victims, the first responders, and survivors. After a stirring pregame video with stark images of Vegas and its heroes, the Golden Knights took the ice for pregame introductions, each accompanied by a member of the medical and law enforcement communities.
These individuals will never be forgotten. May their light long shine.
Then the arena illuminated the victims' names on the ice in gold while counting 58 seconds of painful silence. T-Mobile Arena had no ads on the boards around the ice. Instead, the all-white boards simply displayed the same message, Vegas Strong. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.